This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Known and Ever podcast. It is your host, Natalie Bromley, and it is 2024. It is another calendar year of your favourite Clarets podcast. We have got the team together to have a quick look at the state of the union. We are currently on a Premier League winter break. We don't have another game for, I think, 17 days, something like that, before we face City at the Etihad. The January transfer window is open, and we are all still just trying to get over that very difficult last-minute equaliser at home to Luton. Where are the Clarets right now? We talked to Tom and Rich, our regular panellists, about where they think their season's going, what the Clarets need to look at for the second half of the season, whether or not we can capitalise on some possible points deductions to other Premier League relegation rivals, and who they would sell and buy in the transfer window. So, buckle up, Clarets. Let's go. So here we are. I'm joined by Rich. I'm joined by Tom. We are going to have a little look over where we think we are at the season. We've hit the halfway point. We have hit pretty much just over halfway through the season. The Clarets have played 21 games. So it's a couple of games over. Sit 19th in the table with just 12 points on the board. 15 defeats so far this season with 3 wins and 3 draws. It's been a pretty miserable first half of the season. Things are not going well for Vincent Kompany and his team in their first shot at trying to establish themselves as a Premier League side. Tom, Rich, welcome. We've all joined to sit down and have a little bit of a discussion as to where we think we are, what January holds, and what we should be reflecting on in this short winter Premier League break. I feel like you two are kind of at different ends of the scale, albeit I think we're all kind of moving over to the dark side of grumpy Tom Whittaker this season. I think he's ground us down a little bit. But let's start with you, Tom, because you've been pretty clear as to your disappointment and frustration so far this season. I'm pretty sure performances on the pitch and results haven't done anything to change that. But how are you feeling right now? And I guess, is there anything that we can, that the club can do to bring you back into this engaged, enthusiastic feeling for this season?
Probably what we'd have to do is win a few games, I think, would be a good start. Yeah, I've been pretty down on us for the majority of the season, and not without good reason, I wouldn't say. I would say, if I was going to be kind of a glass half full kind of person, I would say we've been better in the last month or so. We've got a bit more competitive. But in some ways, that worries me as well. I think my big thing with, because obviously I've been kind of in the Kompany out camp for a couple of months now, and my big thing was when he was coming out saying, I'm never going to change my style of play, I'm always going to play this football. And I was thinking, well, we're going to get relegated then. But it's kind of strange now that, because he clearly has changed his style of play. Like, yeah. It's very, very different. But it almost seems now like we're trying to play like Sean Dyche football with Vincent Kompany players.
Yeah, we are. It's not like we're kind of, we are doing that. We're playing a 4-4-2 with very physically small and quite light, tricky players, which doesn't seem to fit.
They're not set up as well defensively, you know, and yet we're still trying to sit on 1-0 leads.
With Matt Trezor being the saviour.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't, it's kind of difficult when you say, like, where are we going? What's the future hold? I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like when we go down, and we are going to go down, and what a missed opportunity it is, by the way, with all these teams getting points taken off. We've got a league where, you know, we should have come into this automatically better than Luton and Sheffield United, and we've gone backwards and Luton have overtaken us. And then you add on to that Everton, Forest, Wolves. You know, there were a lot of teams in there that were catchable. So it's a big missed opportunity, but we are going to go down. But next season will probably be more fun. I think the kind of football that company wants to play works best when you've got the biggest budget in the league, when you've got better players than everybody else, because it's all about controlling, you know, dictating the game, controlling the ball. It's that Man City style. And I think if you put Pep Guardiola in charge of us this season, we'd probably be similarly bad, because that kind of football isn't going to work when the other team's got more of the ball and better players. And I think companies belatedly realised that, and now we're playing, as I say, this kind of Sean Dyche tribute act that's not really working, but is at least making us more competitive. But then I wonder, you know, if we go back up, what is next? Is there a hybrid that we can find? Are we going to come back up, and is company going to go back to playing this kind of football? I think you saw with Brentford when they came up, they play a lot more of a kind of, I don't know if basic is the word you want to call it, they play a bit more of a Dyche style in the Premier League than they did in the Championship.
Yeah.
And Thomas Frank seems to find a really good balance, and maybe that's where our future is, and maybe company will kind of find that balance if we go down and we come back up again. And it's a big assumption that we will come back up again, but I'm a lot more optimistic about us under company in the Championship than I am in the Premier League. So I don't know. It's kind of, there's just so, we get so little information from the club about a lot of things these days, and it kind of makes it hard to judge where we're going to be in a couple of years. I really don't know what the financial state is. I don't know who's going to be in the team next year. I don't know if the company's going to be here in a year or two. And it's not great. You know, we've gone from a very kind of stable club. If we weren't always the most exciting at times, we were very stable and established in one division, and we feel like the opposite of that at the minute. And so it's difficult to know how to feel, other than just being kind of disappointed at how badly the season's gone, at the opportunity that we've thrown away, really, and the fact that we look like we're going to get relegated again.
See, I don't necessarily feel that level of concern with it being an unstable club. I actually kind of feel the opposite. I feel like we're in great hands, and I appreciate, I'm in a privileged position where I have access to information, and I'm part of the fan advisory board, and we're part of a decision-making process. I do believe in this board, and I get carried away with them, with the enthusiasm that they show and the ideas and the future that they want to bring to the club. And at the end of the day, football is changing. Football isn't what it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And if you don't change with it, you're going to lose your football club anyway. I guess some of the kind of elements of the old traditional football that we're trying to maybe cling on to is moving anyway. So what do you do? Do you, if you want to stay and be a successful Premier League brand, you have to get on board with those changes. I believe that the club's in a stronger position to go back down than it was the first time it went back down. Obviously, you're right, we don't necessarily have that information, but I haven't seen yet any signs that concern me with us being unstable. So I don't necessarily share that same thing, but I do agree with you in that it feels like this could have been an opportunity to stay up. Rich, can I ask you the same question, but more from a technical side? You're a technical expert in the team, and you're very savvy when it comes to the football that's being played and the coaching and the intricate details that us who've never played and have never coached or managed don't necessarily pick up. Tom mentioned it in his piece about how over the last few games we have felt stronger, we have adapted the style of play we're playing. Are you seeing improvements on the pitch in terms of the technical ability?
The only thing I didn't quite agree with, I don't think we've been playing a 4-4-2 still. I think we've still been playing Amdouni in that number 10 role behind Foster. So okay, it's not been quite a 4-4-2 when we had like two number 9s and number 10s feet, you know, playing off each other. Amdouni still does play that number 10 role. We are more competitive. I think we're a little bit more pragmatic. One thing he's definitely changed from the start of the season, and I think why he's brought Vitinho back into the team, in the absence of Rob, or in the expense of Roberts, is not playing the inverted fullback anymore. So that fullback's not going into the midfield area. He's kind of playing with a flat back four, which has given us a little bit more stability. We're not quite playing out from the back as much, but it's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because people go, well, why are we playing out from the back? It's suicide. We're giving silly goals away. But then we hit it a little bit longer and try and go a little bit more direct. And we're saying, well, we can't do that because we've not got enough physical players. So I think what we've just not got a balance at the moment. And I think it goes back to...
Very disjointed.
It goes back to the summer, and it all the way goes back to recruitment. We signed too many inexperienced players. The experienced players we signed were not good enough. O'Shea's been a little bit better, but he's still not good enough. And then he's got like Redmond, who's obviously now injured. And we signed too many of the similar type of player. And then you're looking at it, you know, like key players for his last season, like Benton and Zaruri, haven't got a sniff in. Benton's looks like he's going to go, and we can go into that debate. So, and let's be honest, right, really, we can look at VAR. We're unlucky not to get 4 points from the last two Premier League games, and we've ended up with one. That's the realistic side of it. And if VAR was on our side a little bit more, we could have easily got 4 points. I thought we played really, really well against Aston Villa, actually. I thought Villa were away with 10 men. I thought we were really, really good. Not many teams will go to Villa this season with a home record and play like that, especially with 10 men. But Luton, we wasn't great. We was poor. We just couldn't get, for whatever reason, listen, we play games of football, and there's certain games where you just can't seem to get, we couldn't quite get a grip on the game, and that was Luton. And as the game went on, we just couldn't keep possession properly, and we got boxed in a little bit more. And I'm sure we'll come to the formation change and the substitutions he made against Luton.
We can stay on that because we've talked generally speaking about where we are. Let's go. But one of the reasons why we are where we are is that we've gone into this international break in a much poorer position than we wanted to be. We could have been just 1 point behind Luton. They'd have been on 2 points. And as it stands, we're 4 points behind them and 5 points off Everton in 17th, who are not going to be in 17th come to the end of the season. And I think
we could genuinely still stay up with these points because you don't have a clue what's, you know, from this moment on, it could be level playing field for the rest of the season. So I don't think we will. And I agree with Tom, but you just don't know.
No, that's true.
And I won't be celebrating, by the way, if we stay up as a result of points deduction.
I think I might be concerned.
I'd just be like, right, we've got away with it and try and move on. But like going back to that game against Luton, yes, right? So this is a difficult one. Everyone goes, why did you go five at the back? We was inviting Luton pressure on. And you go, right, I understand that. You know, we're playing against Luton at home. We should be taking the game to them. But when we had four at the back, we wasn't taking the game to Luton. Right. We were giving the ball away. This is where you've got to set... Companies had a lot to blame this season. But when players are giving away silly passes, like basic passes, that's not on the manager. So there was one time when Gumbinson had an easy cross to Foster and he hit it into touch. There was a time when Vitinho was overlapping Amdouni and Amdouni smashed it into the away end practically when we would have had a really good opportunity.
Yeah.
Now that's, so I think the manager's gone. They brought Morris on. You know they're going to get the ball out wide. Alderkeel struggled all game. We'll put Roberts on. We'll go three centre-halves. And we'll defend the box. And by and large, I thought we defended crosses and set pieces really well in that Luton game. And I thought Trafford was a lot better compared to what we have done. And let's be honest, we was a bad refereeing decision or an unlucky refereeing decision or 2 or 3 minutes away from saying, do you know what, that really worked. So I understand where fans are coming from by saying, you know what, we could have got that second goal, but we didn't look really like getting that second goal playing the way we did because we just, our passing was off and whatnot.
Actually, the passing leading up to the goal, which annoyed me, and I still not think, I think it must have been Alderkeel because I haven't quite been able to find that exact moment. But in the build up to the actual equaliser, the ball had gone out onto the left side of it, and whoever was defending that left side made the laziest just attempt at a clearance. It was like a little tippy tappy, half hearted little pass away. It was almost like a toe poke away. Went straight to the Luton player, and then that's what started the attack that led to the goal. If you want more disciplined on that wing, clear the ball. Don't be afraid.
That's what I'm going to come to now. So if you're going to go to that five at the back, you can't be bringing somebody like Trezor on. You know, Tre, let's with Trezor, listen, we can argue, should he be here, should he not be here? You can see he's got ability. He's got a fantastic first touch. He moves with the ball nice, but he's too weak for this. Like, Tom's rolling his face. He's got a good first touch, Trezor. Go and watch. Go and watch back. He has, you know, he's a good, you know, you don't get that, but the Premier League's a different beast. It's at a quicker pace. It's a, you know, it's a lot stronger and it's a lot physical. So you can't impose yourself on the game the same. So if you're going to go to that formation, bring a more solid player on. You know, maybe bring a Rodriguez on and even let Rodriguez, you know, go up front and Foster go out wide a little bit. And people were saying, well, why did you take Amdouni and Odegaard off? Well, they were knackered. Odegaard wasn't defending. Like, as good as Odegaard going back, he's bone idle defending. So, you know, and so I felt for Alderkeel a little bit. You know, he was basically, he's not a fullback and he's marking two players, which isn't easy. So if you're going to do that and then, like, bring Cork on then to solidify the midfield a little bit. But then what you do when you need a goal, you bring Cork on. And then you're like, just those were the ones that I found bizarre. The five at the back one, is it something I would have done? Maybe not, but I understand why he's done it, because he probably thought, we're not playing well, we're giving the ball away. They brought Morris on. Let's just really, you know, make sure when, you know, we defend our box nice and tight, nice and, you know, we defend it nice and compact. You know, when it nearly worked, a lot of managers bring five players on at the back to defend Leeds. It's something that's not uncommon. Chelsea did it.
We did it last year.
Did it. Yeah, Pochettino did it against who did Chelsea beat in the last home game? It wasn't a great game. Fulham, you know, Pochettino won five on at the back. Managers do it. So it's a really, really difficult one. And we're all crying out for him to do something different. And he does something different and he gets called. Ultimately, what it is, the players we have got aren't good enough yet.
No, they're not.
How many players have actually improved our side from last season? Not many.
I think Cole Osho and Odegaard have, because they're able to perform that function.
But
that
they can't defend.
So
it's not just about. Yeah, but they are, Natalie. Your wingers have to defend. They have to. At this level, when we're a struggling team, you have to defend. You have to. You've got to work hard for the team. You watch Arsenal, for example, the way Saka gets back and defends for the team. You've got to defend. It's all well and good. And I'm not knocking these two young lads. I think, you know, Colley Osho and Odegaard, I think they're really, really good, young, talented players. But like Odegaard, I'm going to say it, Odegaard's defending on Friday against Luton was absolutely disgusting. It wasn't good enough at all. You've got to put blood. You know, what did Dice say? Legs, hearts, minds for the team. Do you honestly think Odegaard's trying his best to stop teams scoring against us? And I'll probably get criticism for this, but you've just got to say it. So from an attacking point of view, they're great to watch it and they do pose a threat.
But
look at the way
they've improved us. But that was the point that I was making. They have improved us from an attacking perspective, because the role that Zorori and Benson played in the Championship last season, they're not able to perform at this level. They're not good enough yet to make that step up into the Premier League. But they are, so they have replicated that and are able to do that function in the Premier League. But I take the point on board that
the only player who's made the overall team better is Burge for me.
The improved Foster?
He was here last year.
But he wasn't the same Foster that he was last year.
Signings in the summer.
Oh, so, okay, listen, fine.
To me, when you've got, and we're like Amdouni, such a talented player, but he's a luxury player. And at times we would say under Dyche, wouldn't we? Wow. And it's so hard, because you'd be like, oh, why are we playing wingers like Boyd or Hendrick? But they worked for the team, or Pete, you know, they worked for the team. Mm. When you're a side playing against, you know, like, look at the way Brun Larsen went to close that cross down and the way Trezor did that flick. That's not people dying, giving everything. You know, what did Neil Warnock say? You've got to die to get 3 points.
We don't want them to die, Rich.
No, but you know what I mean? You've got to run and ensure that passion. You know, you've got to do everything to get 3 points. And I think it's all well and good, Alan Pace and company on the computers getting the analysis. I'm going to sound a bit old-fashioned here, you know, with the analysis and all the data. But analysis doesn't show how much heart a player's got to cover every blade of grass to win games for your football club. And I think that's a big part of what we're lacking at the moment, is lads willing to absolutely, you know, give everything to get those 3 points.
The fight's not there. Promise.
The thing is, With that, if company wanted them to be tracking up and down and doing the defensive work, if they weren't doing it, they wouldn't get picked. But he get picked every week, and that tells you that the manager's comfortable with them having that role. And I agree with you. It's a lot of our problem this season is that not every player is, you know, the minimum requirement is maximum effort. That's gone now. We used to have that. And company last year was saying that he was happy that that was something that he wanted to continue, but that has gone. But the thing is, if company wasn't happy that they're not putting in the shift, you know, Trezor wouldn't be getting on the pitch, Ramsey wouldn't be getting on the pitch, Odibert and Kaliosha wouldn't be up and down that wing. It'd be someone like Goodmunson. I think that's why Goodmunson's playing on the other wing, despite the fact that he got turned into a midfielder last year, because he will do that work. And I think company thinks, and whether or not he's correct, or probably the league table tells you, but I think he thinks if we've got someone tracking back on that wing, we can afford to have someone not doing the work on the other side. And it's the same with Amdouni, you know, he doesn't do enough work. Like you said, Rich is a luxury player. And the thing is, if you're a team in our position, you can probably afford to carry one, maybe two luxury players. We've got three or four in the team every week. We're bringing luxury players off the bench. And that's why, you know, the last minute goal against Philly, you've got Trezor piss-arsing about up the pitch, and you've got Ramsey having a touch in his own penalty area when it's 90 minutes and you need to hang on for a draw.
That's fair.
There's too many of these kind of players who can't do these things. And
it's a lot of naivety.
Yeah, there's a certain naivety. And I think as well, there's a certain amount of arrogance. You know, I think we came up, the way we came up, I think we just thought we can just chuck a load of these young lads in there and we'll be fine. We'll steamroll the league like we did last season. And I think, well, you could call it naivety, you could call it arrogance. It's probably a mix of the two maybe, but I genuinely think company thought that we could afford to carry three or four and we'd be good enough without football enough teams for it not to matter. But, you know, as we've seen, we're not good enough. And these players, maybe they'll be good enough to justify not doing work in a year or two. I mean, Trezor certainly didn't give us, and I know, like you said, Rich, he's got a great touch, but he can't cross the ball from what I've seen. His cross is no better than anybody else that's at the club. I've never actually seen him had a shot, so how good his shooting is, I don't know yet. But he's clearly doesn't give us enough on the ball to justify how little he gives us without it. And I think you'd probably say the same of a few of them. I've said it about Amdouni before, although he is at least chipping in with some more goals a bit more regularly now.
And Odibert, I think he's a scorer now, isn't he, Amdouni?
Yeah, two in the last two as well. And Odibert, you know, in the minutes he's had, he's already scored three, hasn't he? So
I do like Odibert, though.
So, I really like him. He's such a talented player. He's fantastic to watch. He'll go to the top level, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying it to like dig him out. Like a lot of people say, oh, you dig people, you know, when you do these things, or you dig people out. What, you know, he's a young lad, but you've got to work. I know I sound like Roy Keane here on Sky Sports, where he's like, but you've got to work. You've got to give every. Tom's called it arrogance, and I think that's spot on. It's laziness. Like if company's happy with Odibert just jogging back and not tracking players, then Jesus Christ, we have got bigger problems than they actually thought.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Do you think there's an arrogance with the manager then? I think so,
a little bit.
It's harsh to say, but I think there might be something in that.
I just find it, if that's the case, right, you go and, Tom watches a lot of non-league football. I don't watch that, you know. Like I watch probably, you know, maybe I should watch more. But like I watch, you know, quite a lot of top level football. I know, you know, you watch City and different things. Like to me, one of the best footballers in the league is Bernardo Silva. Fantastic footballer, great touch. But he works. He's absolute stones off. He never stops running. He wins the ball back. And so companies come from that Guardiola school. And that Guardiola school of football, going back to when Johan Cruyff in the Barcelona, you know, they worked harder to win the ball back. As soon as they lost it, they won it back or they tracked defenders back.
Yeah.
So then companies going out of that environment, and then if he's happy with play, you know, and it's not just Odderberg, you know, it's a lot of players not tracking back. I find that real. That's one thing when I watch is I find really uncomfortable is players not, when they, you know, not in the in the transition, how easy teams, we give the ball away and how easy they transition and we don't close players down and how exposed we leave our defence, you know, and, you know, it's frustrating. I know I've had a bit of a rant there, and it's not just
why I brought you on, Rich. We wanted a Rich's rant.
It's not just on Odderberg, you know, because he's just the example in the last game. And then, like, go and watch Brun Larsen, you know, he's not had any criticism. Go and watch him close that cross down by Doughty. Last minute of the game, close him down, make it hard for him. And they've not done that. And, you know, it's such a hard one because there's passages of play where you watch us and, you know, we've scored some unbelievable goals this season. Like that goal we scored against Luton where Odderberg beat his players, fantastic. The Foster goal against Luton, you know, the two goals against Fulham were superb. So within all the naivety and the badness, there's been fantastic moments. We just can't put it together for long enough to win games of football. And I think when you're not winning, you lose that habit and it becomes harder to win games. And your confidence is down, you start panicking. You know, you maybe start, your touch gets a bit heavier, your legs get a little bit heavier. But yeah, you've got to give everything to win football matches in this league. You've got to give everything. And I don't think we're doing that. I think with company's attitude a little bit as well, coming on saying the players are doing great. It's great working with this bunch of players. I think it's okay for the players not to win games under this regime.
Because there's a bit of a safety net.
Yeah, I think it's a safety net. And I think the way Pace sees, we've got a young team, we'll develop, we'll improve, we'll go down, we'll come back up. It's all going to be fine. So I think we've got that attitude where it's okay to win games. Where Dyche's
Burnley lose games.
Team, or to lose games, sorry. Where Dyche's Burnley teams, we had to win. You know, we had to win. We had to scrap for everything. We had to battle. Yeah, but at times it wasn't the prettiest. But you knew what you was going to get. And I think there's that little bit of a culture at the club at the moment.
But I understand that. If that's where we want to end up as a club, because we couldn't stay in that Sean Dyche era. And listen, when I call
we
it
could
Sean
have done
Dyche
if he got by Garlic. Give Dyche 100 million this summer with Burnley, and I wonder where we'd be. We wouldn't be in this position we are now. If Dyche got 100 million or at least an half decent transfer kitty, I read that article on the Coach's Voice that I sent into the group. And he asked for more money in January and he didn't get it by the board. If Dyche got anywhere near properly back with the board, we'd have never got relegated with him.
Yeah. It is difficult, is that? Because even with the Everton squad, he's never managed where he's had a massive amount of a budget to buy players. So actually, it's all very well us saying, oh, well, you know, he's done X, Y, and Z. He's never been given the opportunity to prove himself,
still got a
so that's fine.
You've got Everton's two mid. You've got,
but it could be stronger. They're not investing in it.
I know, but they've got two midfielders: Everton, Dakari and Onana. They cost best part of 50 million for two players. So they've still got this. Don't let, you know, Everton haven't spent money in the last few years, and you've not got a massive squad. But Everton still got some.
They've still got quality in there to start with. No, that's fair enough.
They've got some good players in that team. So listen, I don't need to just dwell on Dyche, you know, too much. It's just the way it's been brought up, but. Where I am at the moment, I've gone from, and they kind of like finish this kind of like ranty section, I've gone from kind of like being quite, kind of like, what's the right word I'm looking for? I've gone from being quite accepting to it to a bit more like, it's just not good enough. It isn't good enough. I've got like, the more we're losing, and I think within the culture of the club, it seems like it's okay to lose, the more frustrated I've got a little bit. And then bring, you know, I forgot about it and coming back on tonight and thinking about some of the things that we've seen in that Luton game, it brings it up how frustrating it is not to see that out and win that 3 points.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind then, what do we do? We've got the Christmas break, we've got the winter break, and we've got the start of the transfer window. We've already brought one striker in, Fofana on loan from Chelsea. Where do we go in the transfer window, Tom?
Yeah, it doesn't really bode well that in his first interview he mentioned that he's lazy and he's happy that he's left the Bundesliga because he didn't like doing all the running.
Yes.
He's going to fit in really well, isn't he? Yeah.
When, but like, who advised him? Like, and who put that video out, for the love of God? I was looking at it thinking, like, just edit that bit out. Just, like, that's not going to endear yourself to Burnley fans who love a runner anyway. And love a
graphic. Well, that's it, isn't it? It's very kind of antithetical to what our fans kind of value and what we've been used to. It is more about, you know, Ian Moore used to be quite popular. He wasn't the best player in the world, but he'd run about like a dog chasing a balloon. And, you know, I think...
Burnley, everyone loved George Boyd.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a good,
Burnley fans good love a runner.
So
what do you want? What do you want to the transfer window? I'm giving you Burnley's transfer kit here. What do you want, Tom?
Do you know what? I just wouldn't bother. I think this season's gone. I just think we've spent too much already. You know, we need a lot. Obviously, we need a left back. We need a right back. We need probably another midfielder. We need a striker who, well, you know, as company said last year, we need players who can run. And I just brought someone in who won't, so that's interesting. But we need 4 or 5. We need another centre half, don't we? But I don't see the point now. It's a window where you pay a premium. It's a window where players don't necessarily want to come because they're looking at the league table and thinking, why am I going to bother joining them? You know, you see some of the players who
are
going.
That's definitely a challenge.
Yeah. Well, we were linked with, like, for example, Eric Dier, weren't we, in the summer? And whether that was realistic or not, I don't know, but he's gone to Bayern Munich now. Now, if Eric Dier's kicking his heels and, say, Bayern Munich hadn't come in, he isn't going to come to us now. He might have done in the summer and he thought we've got half a chance when there was a lot of hype around us. But now you're thinking, well, why am I going to bother? It's just a relegation on the CV. So for me, don't pay the premium January prices. You know, it's not what are we going to get from it. We're going to finish 18th instead of 19th. For me, what they should have done was replace the manager and back a new manager and give him a chance. But if you want to keep the manager, which obviously, and I know I'm in the minority when I say they should have done that, but if they're keeping the manager, he's already made a complete hash of the last window. I think it's just throwing good money after bad. Let's just leave it. Let's just go down and then we'll see where we are in the summer. And, you know, I just think it's throwing good money after bad. So, and I'll tell you what as well, I haven't seen his link with any left backs yet.
Well, I was just going to say, surely the exemption, sort of the caveat is that we're going to have to sign a left back. Charlie Taylor is now injured. We don't have any cover at left back. Yeah. We can't go the rest of the season at left back.
That situation sums it up for me. Sums all the kind of like issues up. He didn't play left back last season. Company refused to play him left back last season, played him centre half when we needed to. We didn't get a left back in. So and he didn't start Taylor at the start of the season. So he's ended up putting Taylor there because we got no one else. And then he gets injured. There's nobody else come in. And we look, when Taylor doesn't play now, we look so unbalanced. You know, he put Alder Keel out there.
Yeah.
He looks like Bambi on ice when he plays left back. You know, and to me, that whole, we've spent all that money and we've ended up with a left back starting in the Premier League who company didn't want to play there in the Championship.
Yeah.
And we've ended up with a right back who I reckon has doctored his passport to say he's from Brazil. Because God knows, because he's the no-footed Kaká, Cafu, should I say. So, you know, and then that just sums it up. And you've ended up with Dara O'Shea.
Oh, my God.
Who might as well be Dougal or Father Ted. You know what I mean? Like, that sums it up, doesn't it? You've got O'Shea, Vitinho, Alderkeel in your biggest game at season in defence.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a fair point. And it's, I think, farcical. That's... It is. And I think, you know, even the most reasonable of fan and the most constructive of criticisers of this side have got to kind of look at that and go, guys, come on. Like, we are reasonable and we're loyal as fans, but you serve that up to us and you wonder why we get...
And there's no one more loyal than us three on this call who will keep going up. Like, I've missed one I've missed one home game all season. That's because I was at a wedding and I didn't want to go to and my wife made me go.
And that was about 2 weeks after your own wedding, wasn't it? When you were already like...
Yeah.
So, it was like, ooh, this is not good.
And I'll keep going and I'll keep supporting the team. Yeah. You know, maybe I've got nothing else to do. I don't know, but
we are very loyal. We are loyal, and we're also reasonable, and we are also.
And, And another thing that's frustrating is the board getting on the fans' back for and all this. I know it can go on, and that's just like, I think the fans have been superb at Burnley this year. They've backed the team. They've really backed the team and they've got behind the players.
The away
really
support specifically. They've travelled across the country, sold out every single away team, knowing that they're going to get beat. And I think that's been really difficult. So where, I guess throwing that transfer question to you then, Rich, do you...
I agree with Tom. Yeah, I agree with Tom.
Apart from a left-back, surely. We've got to get a left-back in.
Because if we can get a left-back and then it's something that we can build, you know, maybe build on, that's fine. You know, to me, the Fofana signing, listen, is that lazy comedy actually made me laugh. It's probably a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it sums it up where we're at the moment, doesn't it? Someone who's admitting they're lazy. And if we can get maybe a couple of good loan players, like, you know, a couple of lads who's, you know, maybe not playing in Premier League squads at the moment who think they could do well or abroad, you know, when it's kind of like you just cover the wages and there's no fee involved and no long-term kind of commitments, I wouldn't be against that. But I'm going back to what I said at the very beginning. It's like, well, we might as well chuck this season off. We're going down. But like, if ever, you know, if Everton get deducted another 6, 7, 8 points, and Forest get deducted 10, you know, we're outside the relegation.
Well, that's where I wanted to go to. Like, does that not change your mind in that we could be given an absolute?
If we knew that, then yeah. If we, for me, if it was guaranteed that. Say Everton got deducted. Say Everton and Forest got deducted another how many? 10, 6. I think Forest are looking at 10. I've seen Everton maybe 6. It might be more. But we're either outside the relegation zone or just below it. Then I'd be like, yeah, because you know what? I genuinely do think with a few more players,
a bit more stability in
that team, that I think we could get enough results to stay up.
Puts Everton on 11 and puts Forest on 10. We're on 12. I mean, that's kind of a very damaging assessment of our season, that Forest can get 10, Everton another 6, and they're still only 2 points behind us.
That's why I said
to
you, I wouldn't be celebrating if we managed to stay up this season on default. You know, I wouldn't get any massive satisfaction. I'd just be like, right, that's a relief. Learn from the mistakes and then go again and, you know, and hopefully recruit better.
Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left before the end of the podcast recording, so I'm going to give the floor to a minute to you each. Final thoughts on the rest of the season, minute each. Tom, you go first.
I've accepted we're going down. I accepted it quite a while ago. I'm just going to try and enjoy it. To me, it's like 19 friendly, or however many games, like 17 friendlies. I won't get too stressed about them. I won't get too upset when we lose. When you know, you're just somebody up there. I mean, even if Everton and Forest get points taken off them, they're still gonna finish above us. So yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna have the attitude that the board seems to have and just think, well, it doesn't matter if we get relegated, it's fine. Let's just carry on watching it and hopefully I'll enjoy it a bit more next season.
Man. Rich.
Yeah. I do agree with Tom in a lot of senses, and I wish I could be more like that, but I'm very competitive in everything I do. So I can't just, any football game I watch, I can't just be like, oh, well, we've lost. Because I think I think that's the attitude that the players have a bit, going back to what I was saying earlier, is that, you know, we kind of just accept defeat a little bit now and we don't kind of do everything we can to win. I'm kind of like, if we know these points are going to get deducted, let's keep going and let's keep giving everything to try our best to stay up. Because if we go down, listen, we are going to have a very, very good chance of going back up. But there's no guarantees when you get into that slog in the Championship, you know. So it can be tough. But even with the points of those, you know, coming from a realistic point of view, I still, Everton and Forest are better teams. So even if they're 2 or 3, 4 points behind us, I still think they'll accumulate more at the end of the season. But genuinely, I think with some proper additions, you know, a proper right back, another centre half, and you know, change the back four a little bit. I think if we got a bit more solidity in that bit back four, we could have a chance. So keep just try and listen, like anything in life, don't give up until it's absolutely over.
Love it. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Rich. That is all we have time for this week. And my thanks go as ever to everybody who has contributed to this podcast, to producer Matt and to all of our guests. And of course, the wider team who do provide a lot of material for the podcast, even though they may not be on the channel. We will be back probably next week for a second half of an analysis show to look ahead at the restart of the Premier League. And we will be previewing that game away at Manchester City. If you've got any questions about what you want to see from your non-another team in 2024, do please drop us a line and let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts. If you want to come and join us as a guest fan, you are always more than welcome. I've been your host, Natalie Bromley. This has been the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time.
Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The Analysis Show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting knownandever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.